This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. Free your mind!
Sex worker, and yes, it does. In those biblical sense, I am beyond repentance. Bang hooker, sex worker, wench, vow, metal mind. Listen up close while I take it backwards. Okay, begins the gal listen me, which I will. I'm not a prostitute, sex workers, but I can give you what you want. Life's a shotgun. Needs an outcome. I'm your prostitute. Sex worker, damn it. Go
get some. Tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
You have tuned into The Vixen Hour. The Vixen Hour is your weekly radio show that explores life, issues and the world from a sex worker's perspective. This is your opportunity to challenge the stereotypes and prejudice that you may have about sex work and hear from the actual voices of sex workers ourselves. We are out loud and proud. This is the only community radio program in the world that is both publicly broadcasted directly to your radios and available online all the time via live stream and podcast that is 100% produced and presented by sex workers. Turn it up.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interest of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
If you would like to interact with the program at all at any point, you can send us a text message on 0427-JOY949, that's 0427-569-949, or an email at onair@joy.org.au. You can also call Robert on the front desk for the price of a local call anywhere in Australia at 1300-JOY949, that's 1300-569-949. It would be awesome to hear from you, and we are currently broadcasting on Joy94.9 here in Melbourne, but also in Sydney on Star Observer Digital, your sex, sexuality and gender diverse pop-up digital radio station. Hi, Sydney. If this is the first time you're listening to the Vixen Hour, we would love you to text in 0427-569-949. It would be awesome to hear from you. Yay! Oh, let me turn you on. I have a guest in the studio with me. Hello, Eva.
Hello, everyone.
Awesome to have Eva in the studio tonight. We are doing, we often focus on one side of sex work a lot. We do try to provide a platform for the voices of sex workers. But tonight we're going to do something a little bit different, a little bit special. We haven't tried it before. We're actually going to talk about clients and listen to clients, which is, I think is it's a bit of a novel approach. Is it a novel approach?
I think so. I think it's something that a lot of people are really interested in hearing about, though.
Mm. And I certainly think it's something that people need to do for the benefit of balance, because I think a lot of the time people are used to seeing things like stereotypes of clients, or they'll see like clients who are celebrities or politicians who are caught up in some sort of scandal, and
Greg Thompson
and other heads of state, some teenage pop stars.
Yeah. With fringes.
So yeah, I think the portrayal of clients, the overwhelmingly viewed, I guess, client, if you like, isn't necessarily representative of who we would see. So I think this is an opportunity to sort of bring some balance to that. But I guess to start off this conversation, as we do often in the Vixen Hour, is we do bring some voices from the general community into the studio by way of a vox pop.
Very exciting.
Yeah. So, and the initial question I was going to ask people is, you know, oh, would you be the client of a sex worker? But I sort of broke that down a little bit more and, you know, and asked people, well, would they ever pay for sex? Here's what they had to say. You're in the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Well, no. I don't have any problems with it, but it's not something that would appeal to me and wouldn't be something that I'd pay.
Well, my initial reaction is no, definitely not, because I'm a journalist, and everyone knows journalists don't make very much money, and one of the few things I still don't have to pay for is sex. However, if the sex worker in question was really attractive, and that was the only way I was going to be able to get any action with them, then maybe I'd consider handing over a bit of cash.
I think we all have. It's just how you've paid for that along the way that differs. We've all bought people drinks and dinners and all sorts of things, so this is just a different way of transacting, I suppose. And ordinarily, no, I wouldn't, but would I if there were no other option? Possibly, yeah. Possibly, yes.
Yes, I wouldn't be against paying for sex if I felt that I needed to, or that I felt that that was something that I would like to do, if that makes sense. So right now I don't want to pay for sex, but I feel like I would if I was like less happy with my sexuality. Maybe I would, if I was discovering my sexuality, I might pay for sex to work it out that way, because otherwise, you know, you'd probably get all brokenhearted. Or if I was in some accident or needed something and it became more difficult for me to, you know, have sex, then I would pay for it.
I would choose not to in most circumstances. However, there are some times when things might be paid for that aren't anticipated for sex but actually turn into sex after the fact. And you kind of know it beforehand, but you're not really, like, you're not committing to it beforehand, if you know what I mean. So there's this fine line in my mind of actually knowingly looking for sex and just happening to get services which may lead to something that could be construed as sex.
When you think about it, it's one of the most honest transactions there can be. That being said, I've never really felt the desire to do it, and I don't think at this stage I would. I've got nothing against it. It's just not something I've ever really thought I wanted to do.
Yeah, I guess I would. Probably the only reason I would, though, would be to experiment, or if I needed to have some sort of therapy with sexuality, if I wasn't feeling very comfortable, or if I was just really keen to give a shot of being with a sex worker.
Right, so I'm pretty sure I have, and it's come in the form of dinner, cocktails, drinks, and time. You put a lot of time in, and I think, you know, maybe if you paid actual sex workers for sex, maybe it'd just be the economical choice. So I think in a way I have paid for sex, and also I can't look into the future, but I would naturally assume if I was caught in a fiery sort of car crash and somehow survived, then maybe my options might be a bit, you know, different, and I might have to actually pay for sex.
Yes, I would definitely pay for it. If I could afford it, I'd need to find out the rates, but sure, I'd pay. I want to know why there isn't an insurance or a saving plan for sex. To have sex, to pay for sex. Otherwise, I'm going to be saving till 2016 to have a sexual experience with a sex worker, and that's just not right. Australia, do something.
Do something! Thank you to everyone who took part in that Vox Pop. It was entertaining, interesting. I think there was a number of issues explored there. I mean, there was a lot of lols, yes. But in amongst it all, I think there were some really telling responses. So thank you to everyone who did take part in that Vox Pop. Overwhelmingly, one of the running themes is no, but...
Maybe if...
Yeah, and I think that initial no indicates the social stigma around paying for sex. But if you sort of sat down and reasoned it out for a little bit, you could probably justify it.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's a running theme, obviously, on the Vixen Hour, is how stigma affects everything to do with sex work and sex workers. But yeah, as you heard, it's not just about sex workers, it's the stigma right against clients as well. What does it mean to be a client? What does it mean? What does it make you if you pay for sex?
Yeah, and I like there were some really like interesting answers there around how sex is normally transactional anyway. Mm-hmm. Like you have to kind of trade up for it.
Yeah, and I think that's not just about like dinner and drinks on a date or a one night stand. It's also in a relationship. The nature of sex and your whole relationship is transactional.
Yeah,
and it's a negotiation. And I think for some people, sex work or an appointment with a sex worker is the only way to remove all of the ambiguity from that and just have a transaction where you pay and you get what you're after, and there's you don't have to worry about the rest of it.
Yeah, you don't have to sort of make up stuff like I'll do the dishes.
Yeah,
if you eat me out. And in amongst that, there was that really beautiful description of it being like the most honest transaction. I think that's really telling when in this sort of climate of paying for sex being a really stigmatized, taboo thing to do, but for someone to actually say, actually, it's a really honest thing to do.
I think it ties into that whole, the problem we're having at the moment in the broader community with blurred lines to do with sex and, you know, what's an enthusiastic yes and like when is it really consent if you know, in terms of like being in a relationship or if someone's having little drinks and stuff. And I always like to point out when people are having these discussions that sex work is really the only, there are so many boundaries. You know exactly what's going to happen. You agree to something beforehand, you pay for it, and then it happens and everybody knows what's going on. And
then,
it's great.
And then the client leaves. And there is no more. There is no sort of
no
PS.
Strings.
Yeah. And that's it's a very sort of neat and tidy.
Very much so, yes. Mm.
Whereas like sex in like lots of other contexts is not
so
neat.
So complicated.
No, I think this is going to be a really interesting show. We'll be hearing from a couple of clients. So as we do here on the Vixen Hour, there are no tricky conversations. It's one of our sort of core philosophies. There are no tricky conversations. You just need to talk to the people who are involved. And that's what we're going to be doing later. We'll be hearing from Jonathan and David. And yeah, if you'd like to join in the conversation, all you need to do is text in 0427 JOY 949. You're on the Vixen Hour here on JOY 94.9.
This is Courtney Trouble, and you're listening to The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are on The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Eva and Christian. And listening to us via Star Observer Digital Pop-Up Radio in Sydney. Hey, Sydney. We are talking all about clients. Hooray.
Yay.
Facing up to it. Yay. and right now we're going to hear our little chat with Jonathan, who is a client of a sex worker. And here is what he had to say. You're on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
So you're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian and I'm joined on the line by Jonathan. Hi, Jonathan.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, very well.
Now, this is a bit of a unique moment in the Vixen Hour. Usually we speak to sex workers, but tonight's focus on the Vixen Hour is on clients. So we thought, who better to speak to than a client of a sex worker? And so Jonathan has generously put his hand up to be a part of the show. And I just want to say from the outset, thank you very much for doing this, because I think it's a really unique opportunity that people don't really get to hear from.
That's right. You're most welcome.
So when people think of clients of sex workers, quite often, particularly when you hear a lot of the stereotypes around sex work, people sort of imagine things like power dynamics, or have read rhetoric like, you know, people wanting to exploit the bodies of women. I'm just wondering, as a client, does that reflect your thought process at all, or was it different for you?
No, not at all. I would say, yeah, and I've read a lot of the same sort of things that you have by the sounds of it. And certainly my experience is very different. I always approach it as one human being approaching another human being. And I always respect the sex workers whose services I use and never think of it as just a body. In fact, you know, I quite deliberately pursue the whole interaction as much more than even just sex. Not that sex is just a body thing. Sex is, for me, is also a mental thing very much as well. And for that reason, I tend to go for long bookings because I just like the sort of dynamics of talking to the sex worker and you know, just exploring each other's minds as well as bodies and all of that. It's very much a whole sexual encounter as far as I'm concerned.
Fantastic. Well, it's a bit of a tradition that we have here on the Vixen Hour that we ask each of our guests, well, what does sex work mean to you? And it's interesting because usually we ask this question to sex workers, but as somebody who is also a part of those transactions, I think, you know, clients will have a particular perspective on what sex work means to them. So, and I think this is, again, a really unique opportunity to hear from that. So, so Jonathan, from a client's perspective, what does sex work mean to you?
To me, sex work is an opportunity to explore and develop my sexuality with a person who is experienced and professional, mm-hmm. and also to provide something to in the interaction as well. I mean, I always like to actively participate and actively try to make the experience as pleasant for the provider as I possibly can. And, you know, in that sense, I often ask as well. So I guess for me, personally, that's what it is.
Fantastic. I think that's a really great response. You said exploration. When people think of exploration or experimentation, you know, learning new things, I think a really important aspect of good exploration is a degree of safety. Do you think sex workers provide that for clients?
Yes, I do. It's very much a thing that in my particular circumstance, I am married, mm-hmm. and my wife is disabled. So although we have a great marriage, we haven't had sex for a long time. So what a sex worker provides in that sense is the safety of being able to explore sexuality and just enjoy sex, because, I mean, you know, sex is fun. I don't need to tell you that.
No, not at all.
And it provides a safe opportunity to do that, because, you know, the whole sort of no strings attached, that you might strike up a friendship with them, but an alternative, for example, is, you know, having an affair,
yeah,
which is fraught with all sorts of difficulties and risks and, you know, all of that sort of thing. So it does provide that kind of safe aspect.
Yeah. If it's not too personal a question, you talked about your wife having a disability and that you haven't had sex for a while. Is seeing a sex worker, is that something that she knows about?
She sort of knows about it, and, you know, it's kind of, she doesn't really want to know about it, mm-hmm. as long as everything's discreet.
Yep, sure. And again, this is, I know this is a bit of a confronting discussion and can be for clients, but I wanted to ask, do you see it as cheating? Because that's a question that I think a lot of people think when they think, you know, oh, somebody's in a relationship and they see sex
workers. Somebody's in a relationship, yeah, and sex workers. I don't. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. My views on this have changed over the years. You know, I kind of almost, I used to be very, very uncomfortable with that sort of question, with that sort of area. Mm-hmm. I don't now. You know, we haven't openly discussed it.
And what has sort of led you to sort of change the way you've thought about seeing a sex worker with regards to your relationship?
It is kind of, in a way, I guess I'm exploring my own sexuality. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, my body, myself, as long as I do it safely and discreetly and all of that. The other aspect, it's kind of something that she can't provide for me. And the other aspect of it is that, you know, you get back to that whole affair thing, that if I wasn't doing this, I would be likely to be having an affair. And
yeah.
Certainly sex workers have provided something emotional for me, emotional support in that sense. I mean, I've pursued that kind of emotional support deliberately. So, you know, in that sense, it kind of helps me in the rest of my life. It helps me in my other relationships and in my relationship with her in that sense. So it kind of, you know, supports me in supporting her.
So in a way, seeing sex workers actually helps you stay together with your wife as opposed to, yeah, ending your relationship.
It does, yes.
That's interesting. I think that's a sort of a perspective that the general community probably hasn't heard of or, you know, appreciated. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. I did want to ask you, as a client of sex workers, what do you look for when you are wanting to engage a sex worker?
I guess I tend to look for some sort of interest in common, something. I research sex workers online, and I might interact with them for a while, mm-hmm. before I actually go and see them as well.
Yep.
I look at the website and read it. I like someone who will have a really good conversation with me as well. So I guess in a way I'm also sapiosexual. I like intelligent conversation. I like intelligent women. Mm-hmm. I am heterosexual, and I like intelligent women. I like women who are confident and, you know, have, you know, achievement. Not that, and I don't necessarily mean that it has to be overt, but, you know, someone who is comfortable with themselves.
Yep.
That's the sort of thing I like, and that's the sort of thing I look for, as well as just, you know, kind of commonality of conversation as well.
Great.
So someone might be all these other things. They might be very beautiful, attractive, and all that. But if there's nothing in common, then there's nothing wrong with them. It's just that I'm competitive and interesting.
Sure, and I think that goes against a big stereotype of what people imagine clients are looking for, in that, you know, they expect sex workers to be, you know, blonde and skinny, and, you know, it is about the physicality. But what you're describing is a much more, I guess, intellectual / emotional / personal connection.
Yes, yes. And in fact, the sex workers I'm used have been all sorts of colours, body shapes, sizes, you know, looks, mm-hmm. a wide variety in the purely physical sense.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for sharing a lot of your experience and your voice with all of us from the client's perspective. I do want to say a very big thank you from the Vixen Hour for doing that. But one last question, I guess, is, I mean, if there's one last thing that you would like the community to know about clients, what would you say?
I just want people to know that we're often just normal people, normal men and women, because there are female clients as well. As I think there was an article in The Age recently in the Sydney Morning Herald about female clients to heterosexual male sex workers, which I thought was very interesting. But we are normal. We're often very sensitive, and we have all sorts of reasons for engaging in sex work as clients.
Fantastic. Look, Jonathan, thank you for being part of the Vixen Hour tonight.
That's right. You're most welcome.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Uplifting, informing, empowering. Joy 94.9.
So that was Jonathan. It was an interesting conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Some interesting questions you asked there.
I did try to go there. I did want to say, I mean, you know, there's always a particular type of person who would put their hand up and, you know, join in this conversation. But do you think Jonathan sort of represents a lot of the clients that you see?
Absolutely. I actually wasn't sure if you'd... When I found out that Christian was doing a clients episode and that he was going to try and interview clients, I wasn't sure that he'd be able to find anyone that actually typified most of my clients, because a lot of them are married, and I didn't think anyone would want to do an interview. But no, Jonathan is definitely, if you want a stereotype, definitely a typical client of mine. Someone who's looking for, as he puts it, someone who can have a conversation with, someone who can have a connection with. They're not really looking just for sex, although I do have clients looking just for sex. But no, these guys are, as he kept saying, looking for an intelligent woman who they can connect with as well, which is...
And have a conversation with, yep. And all of those...
The lead up and the banter and the foreplay.
I mean, how often do you get to have a conversation with a client that you're actually going to sort of share with other people?
Yeah, not often.
So, yeah, there were a few questions that I did want to go to, such as the cheating one, because it's one of the first things I guess people think of when they think, oh, clients are wrong because they're cheaters.
Yeah.
But he unpacked it in a very sort of particular way, in that, you know, he used to think it was cheating, and then his thought process had evolved when he actually reflected on his actual relationship, the circumstances that he was in.
I've never actually heard a client describe it that way exactly. I've heard lots of different justifications, explanations, reasonings, all kinds of things, just stories sometimes. And I've never heard someone talk about it as if it's not really sex, even. Like the fact that it's a professional interaction makes it a completely different thing altogether from the kind of sex you would have if you were cheating. It seems like he's made a really distinct separation there, and I think that's pretty unique perspective, but I liked it. I thought that's, you know.
Yeah, and I think that certainly, like, one of the things that sort of stuck out for me was he said, he kind of implied when you cheat, it's about connecting to somebody else or, you know, replacing your partner. But he very much said, well, seeing a sex worker is about me and my needs and my sexuality that I'm not able to explore with my wife.
Yeah, it felt like he was taking his wife out of the equation altogether. In a different way than I'd heard before, which was cool. Something that I do hear, you know, a lot though, is if I didn't see sex workers, I would have an affair, and that was something that he was sort of leading up to as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting that that people seem to think it's a better option. I mean,
than ending a relationship.
Yes, yeah.
Which is, yeah, it seems sort of counterintuitive because a lot of people think that, you know, like cheating or infidelity or sleeping with someone else is sort of the road to ending a relationship. But in fact, quite the opposite happens.
Yeah. And, you know, he talked a lot about safety in terms of being able to explore his sexuality. And I guess that's one of the reasons that you would choose to see a sex worker instead of ending a relationship is when your partner, you don't feel that your partner's open to exploring some of your fantasies and needs that might be a bit uncomfortable for them. So.
Yeah. Super interesting. We did take time to speak to another client and we've got to go to some messages right now. But when we come back, we'll talk to a client who is living with a disability and get that perspective. You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9 and Sydney Star Observer Digital.
Joy.
You're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We are talking all about clients tonight. And right now we're going to hear from David. Now, David is a person who is living with a disability who has seen sex workers and wanted to talk to us about it. So here's what he had to say. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9 and Sydney Star Observer Digital.
The world's most uplifting radio station. Joy 94.9.
So you're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Tonight's topic is all about clients. And on the line, we are speaking with David from Sydney. Hello, David.
G'day, Christian. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. It's great to be here too.
Excellent. Now, this is a bit of a unique opportunity for our show. Usually we do focus on the voices of sex workers, but because tonight we are looking at another part of sex work, we're talking to clients of sex workers who I think have a really unique perspective and one that really isn't shared that often. So David has very kindly agreed to speak to us tonight. And I just want to say right at the start, thank you so much for sharing your voice with us.
No worries. It's great to be here too. It's fantastic to have a chance to speak to you guys from up in Sydney too, which is good.
Excellent. So now, David, you have been quite active in a very unique way in terms of sex worker rights and more access to the industry. Did you want to introduce yourself and the work that you've done?
Yeah, well, it's been like 10 years worth of involvement with an organisation called Touching Base.
Mm-hmm.
And Touching Base was founded back in 2000 between people like myself who actually have a disability and sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically established an organisation to pursue the issues around access to the sex industry for people like myself, like with impairments and disabilities as well, and of course to advance the issues around type training and development and workshops and awareness. And well, I've been in the past 10 years and so I've been involved in that. And of course, I've actually done lots of media for the organisation as well since then too.
Mm-hmm.
To progress the issue and to speak about it and to get clients, you know, like issues up as well and to get sex workers, you know, like awareness and understanding and promoting education of the issues too, because I mean often we actually like forget that like two groups have a lot in common that
yeah,
it's quite a useful thing to actually think about, you know?
Yeah.
The way to look at things, so yeah.
Well, when people think of the clients of sex workers, there is a lot of prejudice and stigma around who those people are. But when you're talking about people who are living with a disability, does that stigma have an impact on your community?
Oh, it does, because, I mean, the thing is always that often there actually is a higher level of discrimination
mm-hmm.
out there towards us, as well as towards sex workers. I mean, I think also actually we do have that commonality of prejudice against us
mm-hmm.
that we're having to constantly battle. And I mean, the idea that people just would actually function downstairs is rather new to some people. I mean, I've been asked the question myself, do I get it up and can I get it up? And I find those questions to be rather blunt and like slightly insulting too, because I mean, the thing is that the assumption is that's made out there is that you're in a wheelchair, but therefore you can't have sex.
Yeah.
And that's just not true.
Mm.
You know, and of course, people don't even want to actually try to find out whether we can have sex or not.
Well, you're starting to talk about a question that I was about to ask you. Here on the Vixen Hour, we do ask all of our guests, well, what does sex work mean to you? Recognising that every single person sort of defines sex work very differently. And amongst sex workers, that can be a diverse range of things. But I imagine for clients that sex work would mean quite a diverse range of things too. So I thought, you know, having a client here on the line might be a really unique opportunity to ask you, David, what does sex work mean to you?
Essentially, Ultimately, sex work for me, it's about respect, it's about closeness, about intimacy, and it's also about that therapy. It's basically a chance for us to have some relief from the struggles of, for me, of actually having what I have, which is cerebral palsy. I mean, cerebral palsy has lots of spasms with it, lots of business with it, and so having an outlet of going to see a sex worker who actually is good and who's trained at what they do means that I can get some relief from having the impairments that I have.
It must be a challenge, like, you know, having to be reliant on so many carers and workers that quite often, well, in, with my experience of working with people living with a disability, it's quite often said that, you know, we have this weird human contact every day, but we know that that human contact almost refuses or doesn't want to see that people living with a disability are also sexual beings. I'm just wondering how you feel about that with regards to sex workers. I mean, are sex workers sort of the opportunity to have that sexual expression?
Well, like, speaking of the experience that I've had, throughout our lives as clients with a disability and also my own life, I've had to lose my sense of shame because lots of people see you naked, more so when you actually have a disability. And so, I mean, people like doctors and nurses and carers and, you know, lots of other people in your circle see you, you know, in different positions than what the usual walking person is. I mean, like, when I was 9 years old, I had to get used to having a carer watch me for the first time in my life. And I'll tell you, that occasion I actually abused my carer, I verbally abused her. So I said to her, it's horrible, I wanted my mum back. Mm-hmm. But then I realised that that's what my life's going to be about. So you then become less ashamed and more accepting of your body, and so you end up, you know, not worrying who sees you, you know, naked and whatever. And so then with sex work, it actually helps as well to be able to explore your body and to explore who you are as a person and whether you can pleasure someone else. And also it makes you understand about the limits and extents, like, of what your disability is capable of doing as well. Because for some of us, there isn't much, you know, that we're actually able to do sex.
Yeah.
And so therefore it then makes you have to think about, well, you know, what can I do? Yeah. And I mean, the other thing as well I'd say is all about it as well is that, like, sex work is not the be-all and end-all for my clients like myself who actually have disabilities. I mean, it's an option for us that we use, but it's not all that we're capable of having.
Yeah.
I think it's important that it's said because, like, we too want relationships. We too want, you know, even to have a same-sex relationship.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we too may even want to have kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people, you know, get horrified even at that thought. But I would actually say in response to that, though, that people shouldn't judge us based on how we look. They should look inside us and see all the people that we actually, you know, are.
You said before that you've seen a number of sex workers now.
Yes, I've seen four.
Mm-hmm. And we spoke earlier, they were quite different sex workers.
Yes, they were. Mm-hmm. There were three women. Mm-hmm. One man.
And so, if you don't mind me asking, do you identify as bisexual, or how do you sort of see your own sexuality?
Well, basically, my sexuality right now is still, it's in a bit of a cloud right now, because I'm still trying to actually work out what I want, what I'm after. I think the same sex situation, I mean, the same sex people understand each other's equipment and how to pleasure each other more in occasions than the opposite sex does.
Yeah.
And see, so my experience, though, like the male work I went to was able to achieve the positive result better than what the female workers could. And that's basically because he knew how my junk worked, which is pretty useful.
Yeah.
And I mean, the other thing about it as well, though, is that, like, it's a journey that we're always on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, until you come to us a reasonable conclusion around what it is that you identify yourself with, you don't really know.
So are you saying that sex workers are a resource for you, if you like, to help you work out where you are going in that journey?
Yes, it's almost like to work out where I sit and who I am, and also to me to know what my skills are. For me, like, in order to please someone else, I need to know first how to please myself and to know how I can please another person. And right now, I'm not prepared to actually be in a relationship with someone where I'm not aware of the skills of how to please that person until I've actually had a training and ability, a chance to achieve, like, be in a setting where I can screw up and I'm not going to be, you know, like, judged or ridiculed or told, you know, really shit at this.
Yeah.
Which what can happen when you're with a partner that you want to spend time with.
Yeah, and I think that brings up a really interesting point, because for most able-bodied people who've never had to consider sort of these issues, sexual experimentation happened for a lot of people in adolescence, while they're at high school. Yeah, so there's never been that consideration of, well, what happens if you didn't have that opportunity? How do we go about exploration, experimentation in a way that won't put us personally at risk?
That's right. And often sex work, I mean, I find sex workers actually are a good vehicle for that.
Well, David, it's been a really fascinating conversation. I think, you know, hearing from the voices of clients is one thing, but hearing from the voices of people who are living with a disability is just as equally important. And I really want to thank you for joining us here on the Vixen Hour tonight.
No problem. Thanks, Christian. I appreciate your time.
No worries. You're in the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
You're sweet and interesting and like such a, like you rarely hear that perspective of, you know, not only a client, but someone who is living with a disability and their sexuality.
Yeah. And it's something that we hear a lot whenever we talk to people with disabilities, especially through Touching Base, which is the organisation that he's linked up with, is that people with disabilities can really relate to the stigma that sex workers experience, which is pretty cool. And I just, I love how they talk about, like, their goal with sex work is just to feel like a normal person.
Yeah.
It just seems so wrong that that's something that they have to fight for. And it,
and that people wouldn't understand that.
I know.
Weird. We've got to go to some messages now, but we'll be back. You're with Eva and Christian. You are on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9 and Sydney Star Observer Digital.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
We're listening to you. SMS 0427 Joy 949. Email onair at joy.org.au or call us 1300 Joy 949.
You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Eva and Christian.
Hey.
We've been talking all about clients. We've heard from a couple of clients. That was pretty interesting.
Mm.
And I think there's a couple of things that have sort of come through. Now, Eva, you're a sex worker.
Yes, I am.
Do you think the sort of experiences and a lot of the stuff that David and Jonathan talked about, do you see in your clients quite often?
Yeah, absolutely. Jonathan talked a lot about, actually both of them talked a lot about this idea of safety with sex workers. And that's something I hear about all the time, whether it's somebody who's wanting to explore their sexuality, wanting to experiment with sexual practices. I'm sure you see clients who are looking to explore, like,
So I guess a typical client that I would see, we were like thinking of, you know, what are the groups of clients that we see? But a big group of clients that I see are people who are still in the closet and who, you know, who may be married or who might be in relationships with, in heterosexual relationships, but for some reason or another, and it still does happen in our, you know, society today, people need to be closeted.
Yeah.
And sometimes seeing a sex worker is, I guess, the only opportunity they have, or they feel that they have, to, you know, express themselves sexually in a very safe and controlled way.
And not just closeted people, but people looking to figure out whether they're gay or straight or bi, and they don't want to have an interaction with another gay person if that's what they're thinking they might be, because they're nervous about the repercussions of that, or the judgment from that particular person, or like what's going to be expected of them within the interaction. So I think seeing a sex worker in that instance is a really good way to sort of go into it.
Yeah, it's a,
you know,
perfectly reasonable thing
to
do.
Yeah.
And interestingly, when both Jonathan and David talked about safety, like when people, you know, when people talk about sex work and safety, they think, you know, preventing violence or safety as far as sexual health, so, you know, safe sex. But when they're talking about safety, they're talking about things like privacy, confidentiality.
Yeah. Emotional pressure.
Learning in a safe environment. So things like being protected from judgment, or, you know, stigma, prejudice, all that kind of stuff.
And in the case of some of the disability clients, also physical safety, because a lot of clients with disabilities require a very delicate treatment, I guess, physically, and there's training available for sex workers through Touching Base to learn how to maneuver with people who can't take pressure on their legs or use a hoist or all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they can't really, even if, you know, if all the other circumstances went away where they could hook up with a stranger in a club or whatever, you know, that would still be the problem for them of having to teach somebody how to interact with them sexually, which I imagine is something that they just don't want to deal with. So it's, you know.
And I mean, as somebody who has hooked up with somebody who has a disability at a club, you know, having to go through that like little training session is not a sexy thing to do. Unfortunately, like,
can make it sexy.
We've tried, but yeah, it's not. It's something that can kill sexy time.
Yeah.
Like, whereas if you're a sex worker, it's like, well, this is part of sexy time. Yep. Like, so,
and we can be sexy for as long as we need to.
Both of those clients. One of the really generous, I keep saying thank you, like I'm really, really grateful. And I am really grateful that, you know, the clients have shared their voices because they have challenged a lot of stereotypes about clients. So usually when people, I mean, the most seen, we talked about it earlier, the most seen clients are people who are, you know, politicians who are somehow corrupt or have, you know, are involved in a scandal or are pop stars or... Hugh Grant in the 90s or someone. They're not positive portrayals of clients.
No, they're not. And actually, I asked a few friends in the lead up to the show, in the hour before, I sent a message out being like, what do you think a typical client of a sex worker is? And I got some pretty grim answers, like sleazeballs and cheaters and nasty people. And I thought that was really, really grim. I don't think that's what I thought before I became a sex worker. I'm sure I had a stereotype in my mind, but I don't think it was quite as dark as that.
Yeah. And when I was having a chat to, well, both Jonathan and David, they talked about stereotypes being things like, you know, they're losers or pathetic or weak or they couldn't, you know, they're not virile and couldn't get sex any other way. And those things are quite, it's interesting, those aspects are quite emasculating, like they had failed as, you know, to
as
be
a man.
Yeah.
And it's funny, it comes through sometimes in the communication with clients in the lead up to a booking. They like to sometimes qualify the attributes that they think make them a typical client. So they'll say things like, I'm overweight, or I'm 65. Actually, sometimes they say I'm older or I'm mature, and what they mean is like 40. Like, your perspective's a little skewed, man.
In the grand scheme of things,
I had one 42-year-old client ask if he was the oldest person I'd seen.
Oh, really?
But they'll qualify, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm overweight, or they'll say things like, I'm really unattractive. I hope that's not a problem kind of way, which is heartbreaking for one. And secondly, irrelevant to me because I don't care what they look like you know, but obviously that's their idea of what a client of a sex worker looks like, is somebody who can't get laid, which is really not reality.
Yeah, which is interesting because the implication is there's this belief that they have somehow, in the scheme of their life, disqualified themselves from sex, which is
bizarre. And if only they could meet some of my married clients and see that lots of people get married and have sex all the time who aren't what they think is, you know, the ideal manly man.
Yeah.
So
it's really interesting. So behind that, I kind of sense like society has this portrayal, or like, you know, is sending this sort of ideal of, oh, to have sex, you have to be sort of this particular way.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, as sort of David said, everybody's entitled to, well, everyone should be entitled to intimacy.
And that's, you know, that's a great role for sex workers to fill. You know, when somebody doesn't feel comfortable going out and seeking the people that would have sex with them, because, by the way, there is somebody that will have sex with you out there. If you think that there isn't, there is.
Yeah, me.
But if they don't want to go and seek out that, you know, that casual relationship, then, you know, sex workers are there to make them feel comfortable and take on those roles. And, like, one of my favourite things to do is see these clients who think that they're hideous. And they're so not.
Yeah.
And it takes them sometimes, it takes multiple bookings to convince them that they're not hideous, that they're totally normal. Makes me wonder where they got the idea from. Like, these are like 25-year-old guys who aren't in bad shape, who aren't bad looking. And they warn me beforehand, like, oh, just so you know, I'm not a good looking person. What's what is going on?
Yeah, and you do. You sort of enter this whole thing of what happened? Like,
yeah.
Something obviously went a bit awry along the way where somebody has said something that was probably, well, as far as I'm concerned, completely unjustified.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
But it's had an impact on this person and now they feel like this is the only way they can get over it, which is a bit sad.
It is a bit sad. But, you know, by the same token, I'm glad that I get to help them get past it and
doing our little bit for the community.
Yeah.
Which is, and I mean, it brings in those bigger issues around we don't teach people how to sort of communicate or negotiate sexual situations in a sort of safe and respectful way, whereas it's interesting hearing like critics of sex work say attribute a whole bunch of non-desirable things as inherent to sex work.
Yes.
Like, for example, violence or physical danger, health risks.
And this implied lack of consent that all sex workers aren't really consenting to their work.
Mm. But as we've sort of heard from this discussion with our clients and talking about our work, inherent to sex work for us is things like safety, negotiation, consent.
Yeah, boundaries. Know,
things that actually aren't inherent in most...
Personal life sex,
Yeah, well, aren't taught to be inherent.
No.
They should be. But that is the job that we do.
Yeah.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. If you would like to stay connected to the program all throughout the week, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is at Vixen Hour. It would be awesome to be socially connected to you all throughout the week. We've got to go to some messages now and we'll be back to say goodnight. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
I'm Dr. Brooke Mignanti, formerly known as Belle du Jour, and you're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're in the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Oh, Eva, it is 4 minutes to 10 o'clock.
Oh, no.
Boo. It has been an absolutely amazing show. Thank you for joining me.
You're very
studio.
Welcome. I love coming in.
Yay. And thank you to David and Jonathan for speaking to us. And thank you to everyone who took part in our Vox Pop. It was amazing for you to be part of the show. As I said before that break, if you'd like to stay connected to the Vixen Hour all throughout the week, you can do so by liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. Now, I do have a bit of a sad announcement.
No.
Oh, this is coming. This is coming for a while. So, this is the last season of the Vixen Hour in its current form because I am moving to Tasmania in April, which is, it's exciting and great for me, like professionally in my day job and even, and as a sex worker as well is amazing, but it is heartbreakingly crushing in terms of giving up things like this amazing radio show and my community here in Melbourne. But you haven't gotten rid of me yet. I am around for the next 7 weeks. So make the most of it. If you are a sex worker in Melbourne or even if you're not and you'd like to be a part of the Vixen Hour, maybe there's a topic we haven't talked about yet and you'd love to hear from it, drop us a line. You can contact us through Facebook and Twitter and we would love to hear from you.
We'll miss you.
Oh, thank you. I'll miss everyone. I'll miss all of you. You have been on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Good night.
Night.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.